We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jovial, caring, wacky, live and local. It's time for the Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Good morning, I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you guys, 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. You can reach us throughout the day. You can hit us up social media at 105.7 FM The Fan, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And it's real now. I'm not doing this as a bit. I'm not doing this just to like kill time. I've watched the first two races since NASCAR came back. I'm a NASCAR fan. I think it was thrilling entertainment last night. Last night, you had a whole bunch of different things going on. Some of the action after these restarts is wild, where guys are trying to jockey for position. Denny Hamlin wins the race last night. There's so much strategy that goes into these races, like when you pit, because and then last night, they're trying to figure out how much time do they have against the rain that's coming. Do you pit and lose some traction? Or do you stay on tires that are maybe, you know, getting the wear and tear because you're expecting the rain to come? I was fascinated by the race last night. And then Kyle Busch cuts off Chase Elliott, and Chase Elliott gets wrecked, and he's flipping off Kyle Busch. And then they're, like, arguing with the crew chief after the race. Oh, my gosh. What entertainment it was. It was like everything that I've been wanting in the WWE that I haven't been gotten because their product's terrible. I got it in real life in NASCAR. So, man, I just think that these sports that are able to come back, I don't know any of this stuff that I just said, if it's a normal life. But UFC came back, and now I know a little bit more about UFC. And then NASCAR came back, and I'm looking forward to Sunday's race. And yeah, I play a couple bucks on FanDuel and it keeps me interested. But also the action last night was actually it was really, really good. And I am shocked that I'm saying this, but Horvath, I love NASCAR, I think.
Yeah, I don't share your same enthusiasm with NASCAR.
Oh, I'm so tickled by how much I love NASCAR.
I did win some money off of it, but it looks like I'm going to lose all that, unfortunately. And I have, is that race tonight too as well, though? You said Sunday, but isn't the Xfinity Series postponed for tonight?
Xfinity Series is at 11 a.m. today.
Today, right, yeah. I have Kyle Busch to win it, and I have to lay some scratch with that.
I assume he's still in that race.
Well, he's minus 180 to win it, which usually...
He just finished racing like 6 hours ago.
Yeah, I bet on him last night, too. He won me money. I didn't bet on him to win. So he didn't end up winning it, obviously.
No, Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin
won.
Did. Yeah, our good boy, Denny. But I did have Kyle Busch. I play these individual matchups, which you could do as well. I had him to beat a fellow that goes by the name of Keselowski.
Oh, Brad Keselowski.
Keselowski, there you go. Yeah, good friend of show, Brad Keselowski, people forget. Kyle Busch defeated him last night, minus 135. So I won $100 off Kyle Busch, him defeating a guy I've never heard of.
Oh, so, his dad used to race, come on.
Whose?
Keselowski's.
Oh, yeah, him. No, man, again, I'm not into NASCAR, okay? I don't fault anybody that is. I get it. It's cool to go to. You could get hammered. You could bring booze
Chase
into
Elliott
the pit.
Was on the track, gave the middle finger to Kyle Busch, and then continued the middle finger as he drove by. And Chase Elliott's crew chief, I guess, was used to be Kyle Busch's crew chief.
So Kyle Busch is like the villain of racing, correct?
Right now, for sure. Him. Oh, yeah.
Because when I used to go to, like I said, I went to one race in my life. It was awesome.
God, racing, dude, racing's awesome.
Well, it is when you go. Because you could bring your, like I said, if you have pit seats, you could bring your booze into the pit. Because if you run out of booze and you need to go buy a beverage or any type of concession, you know, a hot dog at one of these events, it's like $20 a pop. Like, it's so expensive at these things. But you could bring your own beer into a race. Imagine being able to bring your own drinks to the Pfizer Forum or into Lambeau Field, how much money you would spend and how much better of a time you'd have. You get a good suntan and you get hammered. But when I went, everybody hated Jeff Gordon because he was like the pretty boy of racing. So now it seems like Kyle Busch is the enemy. And I saw that last night because everybody on social media was going nuts. I was flipping back and forth. Gave my son the bottom TV. He got a new video game for the Nintendo Switch. And then I just was all focused in on Game 6, the movie, which I didn't love. I mean, I love the game. I love the result. But it was, like, focused on one player. I like to see the same, like, the whole floor. But didn't pay a whole lot of attention to NASCAR.
Well, it was, yeah, Game 6, the movie last night. So this was on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed it up after The Last Dance. Now they're, like, milking for more, whatever they can get out of it. I think they're going to start airing the whole thing now on ABC. They had the Stephen A. Smith special the other night, which nobody watched. Like, nobody watched it. They have more documentaries on the way, and now they're showing a bunch of these Jordan games. Game 6, the movie, it wasn't the main TV feed from 98, but it was the secondary feeds and, like, the replay feeds. But it had Bob Costas over it. I was impressed by it, dude. It was footage from 22 years ago that looked like it was in HD.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
How did they do that?
I have no idea. It was a good broadcast. It really was. It took a little bit to get used to, but I did enjoy it. And I also got a little depressed because I was like, man, they should have brought this team back to try to win 7. I think they could have won one without Pippen the more that I watched that game. I mean, he could barely get up and down the floor with that back injury. Although you take him off the perimeter as one of the better defenders. But it was a fun watch, but didn't really watch a whole lot of NASCAR. When I turned it on, actually, I saw the rain delay, and I didn't know if they were going to come back, and then they just called the thing, won my money, and I was done with it. But 11 a.m. today, I may be tuned in, because we have no soccer until tomorrow, no German soccer. KBO League, that'll be wrapped up by probably 7:30 a.m. at the latest. And horse racing, so that's what we got. So I'll dip in today, and we could break down some NASCAR tomorrow.
Yeah, although, I don't think there's anything tonight.
There's, like, nobody racing, obviously, because if Kyle Busch is a minus 160 favorite, like, usually the favorite is still plus money, like plus 400, plus 500. So he must be just going up against all the bums today.
Well, yeah, this is like the AAA.
Right, that's what I mean. Why does he race in this?
I don't know.
I thought that Orlowski tried to explain it yesterday, and I was even more confused.
He did try to explain it, but we were having problems getting Steve Zocchi on the phone, so I actually didn't listen to his answer.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because I was texting you about where's Zocchi.
Yeah.
But those of you that listen, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that Horvat and I,
Zocchi does the show from home every Saturday, but yet we couldn't get him on the same thing that he goes on to the show with. So
yeah,
just the frustrations of being a producer in the studio here in the new normal when everybody else is at home. But we survived.
Steve Zocchi, Jeff Orlowski, they will be on the Final Inspection show coming up on Saturday, noon to 2. It's our racing show we've done for a long time. Did you ever work on that show? I used to work on it when Sparky hosted it.
No, I'd come in from 6 to 8 a.m. I'd do Cutting Edge Outdoors with the boys. Love the boys, Danny and Tommy. And then I would do McGivern's Home Improvement show. And then Mayor Mitch Ross, not to be confused with the Mayor Fred Hoiberg, he would come in and he would do the youth sports show, and then he would do the racing show. So I never worked on the racing show. That's actually the only show, now that I think about it. I've worked on every single show at the station. I would fill in when Joe gets 14 vacations a year, we all know, Joe Zanzola. So I would fill in for him and produce the Bill Michaels show.
4 months off.
Yeah.
The way that it works with Radio Joe is when women don't have a baby and don't need maternity leave,
yeah, we just
they actually just give it to Joe.
Which is tremendous because a couple weeks ago, I was sick for a couple days and everybody gave me crap. Since I started here 3 years ago, I've taken a grand total of 10 days off. Mm-hmm. 365 days a year. I worked weekends when I started. So that's over 1,000 days. I've taken 10 of them off. Hashtag no credit. But so going back to that, I've worked on the Wendy's Big Show. That's actually where I got my start. I did the updates. They did the thing like where they'd pretend not to know you, even though you were booking their guests and producing their content. Now they love you, which is great. So I'd worked on the Big Show, Bill Michaels Show. I obviously worked with you guys in the morning, Cutting Edge Outdoors, Youth Sports Show, every draft show. So yeah, I think I have to work on the on. Maybe I'll send a text to Orlowski now. Who produces the racing show now? I need to get on that.
I think Mayor Mitch is on there.
Oh, he'll give that up. He'll give that up. He'll be glad to give that up. I may have to jump on with the boys this weekend if they'll have me. I have nothing else to do this weekend. Maybe I'll produce that show, and then I'm the Triple Crown winner here at the Fan.
Because on Saturdays when I started, I used to work 8 to noon with McGivern.
Okay.
And then the racing show's on from noon to 2, and the first time I ever did the racing show, it was because we had another guy that came in who's no longer working with us.
Shame him. Who was he? Say his name.
I'm actually not going to shame him.
Oh, okay. Bad ending or something?
Huh?
How come? Is he a friend or?
Because he didn't ask for this.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right, so noon to 2 is when the racing show is.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever did the racing show, I had a fantasy draft scheduled at 12:30 in Waukesha because I was going to be done at noon and then drive out to Waukesha and do my fantasy draft for football. And then it's, 11:50. The guy hasn't showed up yet. It's 11:55. Guy hasn't showed up yet. And Sparky and those guys are on remote that day. Then it's noon. I go, Steve, this guy's not here yet. He goes, well, I need you. So I had to do the show. And the fantasy draft started without me. So I was producing the show. Again, it's like my fourth day working at the Fan.
Yeah.
I'm producing the show, but I also pull up my laptop and am Skyping with the guys and doing a draft. So I paid about no attention to the actual job I was doing. I was all locked into the fantasy draft.
Yeah.
So I missed breaks and I hit stuff when I wasn't supposed to. And I was just like, I'm new, guys. But I was doing a fantasy draft. I knew what I was doing.
Let's stay on this for a minute because I got a couple good stories when I first started, all right? I want to throw somebody under the bus here who I love. He's probably my favorite person in this building. There's only 4 of us these days. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer scared the hell out of me for the first couple months that I worked here because I was only doing Admirals games. And then, like you said, I do like some Saturday morning shifts. And those guys are so, like, working with McGivern was great. He would take care of me. He would be like, hey, Ryan, you mind like putting in a promo for me? And then he'd try to like pay you bottles of water he'd bring in. And, sometimes you're hungover on Saturday mornings. Not I, of course. But he would give you like free apparel. Like I have the Friday Night Lights zip ups and stuff like that. He got me a gig doing Thursday night high school football on the television broadcast doing statistics for the guys. So I loved working with him. But the first time I worked with Sparky, I'm doing the basketball postgame show. I had never run this board. In this studio, I ran the board in Iowa for myself because I was a one-man show there as well. But I come here and there's all these buttons. There's five computer screens here. And he's like, all right, play Shot of the Game. And I'm like, where's Shot of the Game? And he's like, you don't know where Shot of the Game is? And he like comes over and he's like yelling at me. And I'm like, no, man, this is my first day. I don't know where anything on these things are. And he was tough. Like he was tough to work for, man. Now he's calmed down a little bit now that he's a family man. He's a corporate man. But back in the day, he was a savage. And then one more better story than that. So then you get called up to the big leagues and you get to work with Bill Michaels, who when I started here probably said like 3 words to the first year because I was scared of Bill. He comes in, he kind of just does his own thing. He'll be like, hi, Bill. And he'll be like, oh, hey, Randy. Oh, it's Ryan, actually. So the first day I get to work with Bill, he's on a remote, which there's nothing worse than working with a host on remote because you're here and you're like right now, like during the break, I'll communicate with you through what's called the talk back button. I'll be like, hey, Bart.
Yeah, we've been doing remotes for 2 months, bud.
Yeah, what do we got coming up? Right, but this is a young Horvat who doesn't really know the ways of the world yet. So I'm like, all right, Bill, we got Mason Crosby on. We're good to go now. And he's doing one of these Packer shows. All right, so here, let's actually, here's a play-by-play. All right, Bill, 15 seconds. Bill, 8 seconds. Bill, are you there? Bill, are you there? And then it's time, and all of a sudden it's.
From the lakefront to the riverfront,
Bill.
This is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show.
Oh, God.
Now,
we don't have Bill.
Here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill!
Good day to you, and welcome.
All right. All right, Tom Parker. We don't got Bill? Here it is, my big break. Good day!
to you! The Ryan Horvath Show on the air. And then all of a sudden, like, I ran out of stuff to talk to talk about 30 seconds into it. So I played an old Mike McCarthy press conference. We got Bill finally hooked up, and 15 minutes later, Mason Crosby joined the show. But that was nerve-wracking, man, because I was like, oh, I don't even know any of the sponsors. What's the name of the show? And Bill was nowhere to be found. Some technical difficulties on a remote. Go figure. Mm. Yeah, so that was my start to the company, with the company.
You sure he wasn't, like, taking a deuce somewhere?
No, he wasn't, because, like, every once in a while, you'd hear him like, can you hear me? And I'd be like, ah. I didn't know what to do because I was on the air, too.
I'm still going to vote deuce.
Probably.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We'll talk to Rob Reichel. We'll talk some Packers coming up with him to take a look back at what happened last week where Aaron Rodgers realizes that he's probably not going to finish as a Green Bay Packer, and plenty more to come today. Baseball, owners versus players. This is getting real interesting. I want to talk to Tim Allen about this. I know he talked with you guys last week Friday when he was in for me. Do want to talk to him about that. We'll do that at 7:30. Little trivia today, and then Brian Anderson with the Milwaukee Brewers, and he's calling the match this weekend on TNT between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That will be at 9. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, good day to you. More coming up next. Alongside Ryan Horvath, I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome back. Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Trivia coming up today at 8 o'clock. Voice of the Brewers and voice of the match this weekend between Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning, Brian Anderson, at 9 today. That coming up a little later. So about a week ago now, Rob Reichel here, Forbes.com, Conley Media. The press conference with Aaron Rodgers and then Matt LaFleur on the conference calls. Did you take away much from that? I did. I think it was Aaron Rodgers coming to terms with the fact that he's probably not going to finish as a Green Bay Packer. And I think that that's a major development, because you had a guy who, for the last few years, sort of the reverse Favre. He's not talking about retiring, or I don't know if I have that itch or not. He's talking about, I want to finish in Green Bay. It's as important to me to finish with the team I started with as it is to win another Super Bowl, is essentially what he's been saying. And now the Packers are like, yeah, good luck with that. We're drafting Jordan Love. Is that what you took away from the two press conferences last week?
Yep, 100%, Barry. It's almost that he's resigned to that fact now. He used the word control a number of times through the 40 minutes he talked to reporters, and, you know, largely admitted the control is now out of his hands. And I guess in some manner, part it always was, but certainly he has far less control now with his eventual, in all likelihood, replacement on the roster. I mean, there's obviously two ways that Rodgers can finish his career with the Packers. Number one would be Jordan Love isn't any good, and they realize after two seasons they made a mistake by drafting him, and they stay the course with Rodgers. And number two, Bart, he can go back to winning MVPs and win a Super Bowl and make it almost impossible for them to run him out of town. I mean, you look at New England, for example, Bart, I think Belichick would have liked to move on from Brady 2 or 3 years earlier, but, you know, he kept winning Super Bowls there, the last couple of years up until this past season when the Chiefs won it. And he made it absolutely impossible for Belichick to move on from him any earlier. I mean, I guess Rodgers can do something like that, Mark. I don't see that happening. I don't think this is a Super Bowl championship team that he's been given, and I'm not sure he's the Super Bowl level winning quarterback that he was 7, 8, 9 years ago, Bart. But those would be the two ways. I took exactly the same things out of that press conference, I think, that you did, that Rodgers understands, you know, if he wants to play into his 40s, if he wants another chance in all likelihood in the Super Bowl, it's probably coming in a different uniform. And I think that leads to a lot of the stories and the speculation then, obviously, of what's next for Rodgers come 2022. Because that would be the ideal time, I think, Mark, for both of them to part ways. The salary cap hit isn't nearly as great in terms of dead money for Green Bay. The next two seasons, 2020 and 2021, would be a killer from a cap perspective for the Packers. But by 2022, the hit's not nearly as extreme. And that would be the ideal time, I would think, the Packers are circling to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
I wonder what it does for Aaron Rodgers if you're in a job and you know that you're not going to finish in that job, maybe there's another place that's courting you, or even it is a situation where you can be replaced. Do you go all out in those final couple of years? Not that he's not going to not try, but I don't know if the desire to win is strong. And this is something that you can't measure, and it's not something you can look at the stats. But there has to be, like, I'm playing for guys that don't want me here. And I know that. And I wonder what that's going to do for him.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bart. I mean, after the Packers lost to the Giants in the 07 NFC Championship game, and, you know, Favre obviously struggled there late in that season in the cold weather and things to that effect. I was at the Combine in 08, and a number of the Packer assistants said, you know, told me that, hey, we're, you know, we would have beat the Giants if we had Aaron Rodgers. And you kind of knew at that point in time the organization was all ready and was ready to move on from Brett Favre. And you kind of feel like they've almost hit that point now with Aaron. Favre was unbelievably good in 07, as you remember, and that's why, you know, there were a handful of trades that teams that lined up to want to trade for Brett Favre. Bart, and Rodgers, I think, will look at it in a similar fashion, Bart. If he comes out the next couple of years and he's not very good, Bart, I don't think he's going to have nearly the options in 2022 of where he wants to wind up playing. There will be a lot of teams that say he's just got nothing left, and maybe he's John Hadle or something like that at the end of his career. If Rodgers comes back, you know, again, Bart, I don't think this is going to be a Super Bowl team by any stretch of the imagination. But if he leads them to 10, 11 wins a season over the next 2 years, they win the division once or twice, they win a playoff game here or there, there will be a lot of organizations that say, all right, he's a lot better than the guy we have right now. Let's get in the mix for him. And Bart, he might have 8 or 10 options. You remember even coming off his neck 6, 7 years ago, Peyton Manning had 6, 7 suitors before, and he obviously wound up signing with Denver and won a Super Bowl there and played in a second one. You know, and that was coming off the neck. If Rodgers is still a top 10 quarterback, Mark, in the next couple of years, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be, at least in that category, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that want to get their hands on him, and I think the Packers will be fine moving on from him at that point in time, Mark.
Yeah, I look at this, Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, and Conley Media joining us here on the Fan 1250 AM and the Radio.com app. I'm going to go into these next couple of years as a fan and not think that Super Bowl is possible. I guess, is it though? I mean, you keep saying not a Super Bowl team, and they were a game away last year, but we know that there was luck that they got into in terms of the schedule and, you know, the injuries and stuff like that. And it just seems like these next couple of years, I keep saying, I might have even said it with you, but it feels like a purgatory to me, where there's a clear way that what Matt LaFleur wants to do, and he's got the guy that he wants to do it with in Jordan Love, but Jordan Love's not ready. So he can't do it with him yet. And the contract situation you can't get out of it. So they have to buy this time for 2 years, it feels like. And I wouldn't be as pessimistic if they did stuff in this offseason that made me think they want to win now. You know, drafting A.J. Dillon is not the one pick. You know, everybody's falling in love with him now and saying, oh, that was a good pick. You know, you got him in the 5th round. A.J. Dillon isn't going to be the guy to put you over the hump when you already had 2 good running backs anyway. And everybody's sexy like, hey, look who might not make the roster, Jamal Williams. Then you're not getting better if you cut Jamal Williams. This team didn't get better in the offseason. And so now they're not really going to have a shot at the Super Bowl until Matt LaFleur has the guy that runs his offense that he can control. And that guy has to be good. Like, we don't even know if Jordan Love is going to be good. So it just seems like they're putting a lot of trust in this situation, which is much more high risk, low reward to me, or I should say, yeah, very high risk, very high reward, but it's too high of a risk. This whole thing, Rob, I know I'm starting to ramble a little bit, but I don't want to be in this purgatory type setting, and that's what I feel like we're in. The next couple of years, do the Packers really have a chance at a Super Bowl? It's the first time I've felt
like the answer is no in a long, long time.
Yeah, and you're rambling a little, Bart, but you got to your point, and you're dead on. I think they are a little bit in purgatory. I you know, as you look at the luck pick more and more, it is one that certainly signals a control element from the head coach's perspective. Matt LaFleur's stock was never going to be higher, Bart, unless he wins a Super Bowl, obviously, but certainly going 13-3, taking that team to an NFC Championship game. His stock was extremely high after the 2019 season. And clearly, no matter what they want to say in a public setting, Bart, on conference calls and in press conferences, something was amiss between LaFleur and Rodgers. Whether that was LaFleur getting tired of Rodgers changing so many play calls, whether that was in game preparation during the week, there was obviously something there where LaFleur, you know, had to sign off on this pick as being his eventual long-term replacement. But you certainly get the feeling that Matt LaFleur said, all right, if I've got another 3 years here on my contract or 4 years, and even I want to extend at some point in time, do I want to go through these next 4, 5, 6 seasons with Aaron Rodgers? And it certainly seems on the surface, Bart, like his answer would have been no to that question. And then how did that pair up with a guy Brian Gutekunst fell in love with and Matt LaFleur liked a lot too, and they signed off on him? Quite possibly. But, you know, I think at the core of this is LaFleur wants to do things his way. Rodgers, who turns 37 this season, is established. He's set in his ways. He's a veteran. He's not a big fan of change in terms of how the last coach let him do things forever. And those two were going to butt heads. And Matt LaFleur is a young coach, I think, Bart, who's probably stubborn in his old way and in terms of getting some things that he wants. Just doesn't want that from the main employee in the building. And, you know, the timing of everything may have just worked out perfectly in terms of maybe they found their next great quarterback, Bart. Maybe it's at the perfect time with Rodgers ending, you know, Rodgers hitting his late 30s here and entering the last few holes of his career. But I think, too, Bart, if things went swimmingly last year, if things were completely copacetic between the head coach and the quarterback, I'm not sure they would have gone ahead and made that pick.
I'm going to leave you with a lyric from my favorite band, Death Cab for Cutie. I know you're a big fan, Rob.
Want to go look up their work when we hang up.
There's a song called Tiny Vessels.
Don't worry, Rob. Nobody listens to them.
And the
emo people.
The lyric that I want to read you is how I feel about LaFleur towards Rodgers. And we'll pretend that it meant something so much more. But it was vile and it was cheap. And you are beautiful, but you don't mean a thing to me. But it was vile. And Matt LaFleur always says that Aaron's so great and he's the leader of this team. And he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But it always rings hollow to me when he says it, because I've never thought that LaFleur actually wants to coach this guy. He wants to coach Jordan Love. Yeah, he'll when he's 80 years old, he can look back and say, I coached Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. But he doesn't care. It's not his guy. He wants his guy. So he knows that Rodgers is beautiful, but he doesn't mean a thing to him.
Well, and you can say that with the general manager as well. I mean, Bart, every general manager, even though Brian Gutekunst comes across as an old shucks guy, Every one of these guys has a little bit of ego, and they want their own guy at some point in time. For Ron Wolf, that was Brett Favre. Obviously, you know, later on for Ted, that was Aaron, and Brian Gutekunst, you know, wants his own guy. And, you know, he's linked now to Jordan Love as well. And, I mean, keep in mind, it's a business. And I tell people this all the time, Bart, who freak out about these picks, and then they listen to a press conference, and they'll tell me, well, this is what the coach said. I mean, actions speak so much louder than words in that business. Just watch what teams do. Watch how many snaps the guy gets on Sunday. You know, the head coach might tell you on Wednesday he absolutely loves Vontravious Adams, and then Adams plays 4 snaps on Sunday. I mean, that tells you what they think. And they may tell you, you know, when the cameras and the lights go on, right, and all the recorders are rolling, that they love Aaron Rodgers, and he's a great leader, and he's going to carry them, you know, as long as possible, and blah, 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 blah. But When they take a guy at pick 26 in the first round, that clearly tells you his window is very, very small right now. It's going to close quickly, and I think your lyric is dead on there. He going to say all the right things. But at the core, I think he wants his own guy. Brian Gutekunst wants his own guy. They're crossing their fingers now that they got the right guy, and we're all fascinated and can't wait for them to get back to find out if they actually did. Right, Mark?
Yeah, why don't you jam to that? Death Cab for Cutie, Tiny Vessels, and Rob, you are beautiful, and you do mean a lot to me, and I appreciate your time, and we will be sure to talk soon.
All right, you enjoy your NASCAR, and we'll talk soon.
Death Cab for Cutie, the band, Rob Reichel, the man. More of the Bart Winkler Show alongside Ryan Horvath, again from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. We're served up by Perkins, and we've got a lot more for you. We're coming back right after this. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, radio.com. Around 7 o'clock, I want to start to talk about baseball and the perception that the players are at fault here if there's no season. I had a conversation, I did some radio in lacrosse yesterday, the old stomping grounds, and the conversation I had, it was almost like the guy I was talking to was pro-owner. And I was like, what did you bring me on for? It got like a little heated. Little afternoon show, afternoon drive in lacrosse. So want to bring that up. And I know that when Tim Allen was here last week, I think a lot of people looked at the Blake Snell comments. He's making a ton of money, and he doesn't want to play for just $3 million. He needs to play for, you know, and so people are mad at the players. And I think the owners are hoodwinking us on that one. We'll talk about that after 7 o'clock. Tim Kirkjian on the Bill Michaels Show yesterday. Want to hear his thoughts on that, too, the great reporter with ESPN. Today is the 21st of May, and we opened the show talking about a rerun of a game from 22 years ago, Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and NASCAR on a Wednesday night, when this show, I mean, has historically pretended like NASCAR doesn't exist, along with UFC and NHL and, you know,
Korean baseball,
those kind of things. So I thought, what did we talk about a year ago today? What did we talk about on May 21st of 2019 to give you an idea of what would be going on if life was normal? And we won't do this daily because it will be too depressing. But a year ago today, the Bucks were in Toronto for Game 4. Of the Eastern Conference Finals. A year ago today, the Reds were here in town for a series against Milwaukee. And a year ago today, the Packers were at Lambeau Field for OTAs. So we had three really meaty things to talk about. During the show, we talked about how, and I'll just read the rundown, 6 o'clock, Warriors versus Blazers thoughts.
Blazers.
Because they were in the Western Conference Final. And then the latest on the Bucks, 6:15, Brewers, Brew Crew Review, Keon Broxton DFA'd. 6:30, we'll hear from Mike Budenholzer.
Boot.
7 o'clock, should the Bucks make a change to their starting lineup tonight? 7:15, can the Bucks beat Golden State? 7:30, we'll hear from Chris Middleton. 8 o'clock, we talked to Adam McKelvey about the Brewers. 8:15, how far is Giannis away from the Bucks' Mount Rushmore? 9 o'clock, Jim Paschke. I mean, we were knee deep in Bucks last year at this time, and so if this was a normal day in the year 2020, we're assuming the Bucks would make the Eastern Conference Finals. The Brewers were supposed to be in a series with the Yankees this week, and I was really looking forward to that. I was going to go to the game on Tuesday as part of a self birthday celebration. I was just going to go by myself and pound Long Island's and watch the game, and you know we'd have OTAs. So we haven't done that a lot, and I thought I'd be doing that more during this, like, oh, today is this day, it should have been this, but we're so far from any sense of normalcy that me watching NASCAR on the edge of my seat last night and enjoying it, not ironically or as a joke, I've just accepted that was the path we were always supposed to be on. This was our destiny, for me to become a NASCAR fan and for you to become a Korean baseball expert. This was our destiny. This was our path. And I can't even look at that it should have been the Eastern Conference Finals or what the Brewers would be up to, because it just seems like so impossible that that would have ever happened.
Right. It's definitely strange. I keep looking every single day just to see what would be taking place, though.
You do that?
No, I mean, not every day. I mean, but like, for example, today I'd be like, will we be in the Eastern Conference Finals? Will we be in the Conference Finals, or will we be getting closer to the NBA Finals? So I don't do it every single day, but every once in a while. Like, for example, I'll look on ESPN just to see the schedule, to see who would have been in town or where the Brewers would have been. That's kind of depressing, though. Like, you bring up the Yankees series, and I know we all hate the Yankees, but anytime the Yankees come to town for an interleague series, no matter where you're at, you want to go and check that out. Especially this year, because they're just loaded with talent. I mean, they probably would have been the favorites to win the whole damn thing. So I definitely would have been at Miller Park this week as well. So that's what's depressing, is when you look at the schedule, you're like, damn it, the Yankees were in town. Or even like the opening weekend. Remember when we were making a big deal, like, I don't like playing the Cubs right off the bat. I would kill to watch Brewers Cubs right now.
I'd kill to watch the Iowa Cubs right now.
Same here.
You know,
but minor league baseball is in big, big trouble, and we're gonna have to wait and see what happens there. It's weird, the new normal. I keep joking with my wife, like when she comes home and there's NASCAR on TV and there's German soccer at 1:30, and she's like, "You really have to watch this." And I'm like, "Actually, technically, I do for my job, because it's really all we have at this point." She doesn't realize that we're probably not gonna break down German soccer, but yeah, I need some sort of competition. I'm trying to get into new things. I'll give NASCAR another shot. So far, I don't know. It's just so boring. I got to be honest. I don't really understand.
I disagree. I was captivated by it.
I don't. It's just, there's no strategy, really. I mean, there is.
There's a ton of strategy.
I know. Let me take that back. Let me rewind that. I just don't. It's like horse racing. Like, I watch it, but is it a sport? Like, is it a sport?
NASCAR a sport?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, is Denny Hamlin right now, like, working on plyometrics and doing core exercises to get ready for the next race? I get that it's tough to do, but I don't think it's a sport.
It's a competition.
Are horses athletes?
No. God, no.
I would argue that the horse is more of an athlete. I would argue that Cigar was a better athlete than Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, but they're never going to turn Jeff Gordon into glue when he's retired.
Yeah. They may.
Jeff Gordon, dude. Jeff Gordon is part of the reason I love NASCAR so much.
Why?
Because he's really good on these broadcasts. He's real. The TV coverage of NASCAR, dude. It's a bunch of cars going around in a circle.
The TV coverage is great. I like how they take
and they
the
make
car.
It look very compelling.
Yeah.
And I was really getting into it, and there was a bit of drama last night. I mean, Kyle Busch cut off Chase Elliott, and then he got out of the car and flipped him off. And I know I'm talking about a middle finger like it's like I'm five, and I just learned about it, and I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Now, does your wife sit down and watch NASCAR with you?
I said, "Honey, I got to do some work tonight, and then I'm going to watch NASCAR." And she goes, "Oh no, the guy that I thought I did not marry, I guess I married."
Yeah,
you know, because I'm not a big
NASCAR
outdoors man or NASCAR man, and you know that was one of the. She didn't want that.
Right.
You know, she wanted a more submissive boy like me.
Yep. Now she's married to Cole Trickle.
And now I'm watching three races in a weekend.
My prediction for you is when sports do come back, your buddies will call you, "Hey, you watching the Bucks this weekend? You watching the Brewers?" And you'll be like, "You know what? No, Denny Hamlin's going for his fourth Cup series." And you'll have a couple guys over. You guys will get a 30-rack of Busch Light. You'll have your Eric Church blasting in the background. My favorite part about racing fans is they just wear, like, hats that say, like, 24, 48. And then they have, like, Dale Earnhardt, like, autographed on the side of their hat. That'll be you. That will be you. You'll have your big NASCAR, or you'll have your big, like, country music T-shirt on. Who was the guy that sang Achy Breaky Heart?
Miley Cyrus' dad.
Yeah, what's his name, though?
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray Cyrus. You'll have one of those big Billy Ray Cyrus concert tees on.
No,
Sacramento,
no,
Utah,
no,
Milwaukee.
No.
Yes,
you
will.
No, I can buck the trend. I can be the one guy in NASCAR that just actually likes the competition, that doesn't like everything that comes with it. I just like the competition.
Now, but that's my question. Will you be watching NASCAR with normal things? Not that, and again, if you like
I didn't think I'd be watching NASCAR without sports.
Right. I don't want, like, NASCAR Nation coming after me. That's the last thing that I want. I don't want Ricky Bobby and all 18 of his cousins showing up at my house looking to kill me because I'm not a fan of the sport. But
look, before this, I wasn't a big UFC guy either, but I think that I have a duty to, just because I don't like a sport, well, you do talk in sports radio. I should at least give a chance to these, like, for some people, NASCAR is the best thing that's ever happened in the world. And same with UFC. And I shouldn't just say, nah, I don't like it. I don't understand it. I should get into it. I should watch it. And I watched NASCAR last night and I was captivated by the race. And I won $4 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
All right. I won $4 last night.
You should actually let me borrow that $4 because I'm losing a tremendous amount of money right now on KBO League Baseball. I'm on a bit of a cold streak, which happens very rarely to me, but it's happening right now. So can you break down the NASCAR race for me from last night? Like, for those that didn't, would you mind maybe break down the race for us? Yes, I got some music for you.
Who is this?
To remain. David Allan Coe.
All right, so here's what I know off the top of my head about the NASCAR race.
Thank you. Here we go.
I believe Clint Boyer led the first two stages.
Okay.
And Clint Boyer is always like this guy that he gets so close all the time, but never can get it done.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get it done. And then there was a threat of rain coming. So these guys are trying to figure out, when do I pit? Do I pit now with the rain coming? Do I plan that the rain's going to come and we're going to end early? And so I just need to be in first place. Do I try to just get everything I can out of these tires? Tremendous strategy going on. Then just the fact of, when do I pit in the beginning? And your boy Keselowski didn't pit right away. Because he was banking on a restart a couple of laps later, but it came too early for him.
Yeah.
And then, as they're trying to re-jockey for position after a caution, Denny Hamlin's in first. Kyle Busch is trying to get there. He cuts off Chase Elliott. Thought he had more room. Chase Elliott goes all over the place, is furious. Kyle Busch is beside himself. He ends up taking second, though. Chase Elliott crashes out of the race, and Denny Hamlin was in first, so he gets the victory. And then he wore his mask last night because they're all wearing masks, but his mask was actually a printed out part of his face, and it was really a funny time on NASCAR last night.
You never even called me. And that right there, your NASCAR update, brought to you by Great Midwest Bank, where as your passion outgrowing your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Good stuff, dude.
If anyone that loves NASCAR wants to, you know, amend what I've said or correct me if I'm wrong, but I did that all off the top of my head, it is my new favorite sport. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain.
Hey, I'm the one that said I liked to see cars race each other. You're the one playing the country music. I'm not embracing the whole lifestyle. I'm just telling you I like watching cars go fast.
No, actually, I'm just a huge fan of David Allan Coe.
This is another David Allan Cole?
No, that's just the same one. I used to karaoke this in my Iowa days.
Oh, I would always carry extremes more than words.
Oh, me too. Me and my buddy would do that, and people didn't enjoy it, let's just say
and
that.
I'd get the bartender to dim the lights.
Said I love... That's a jam right there, though. Then they tried to, like, remake it into a pop version, like Jason Derulo did or something, and it was awful.
Jason Derulo.
That's always
those of you
one.
That have, if we do a bingo square for this show, you singing a song at any time is going to be the free space.
Good.
I think. Buddy tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. He says, more German Bundesliga talk, please. Stop teasing. Put Steve Zocchi on for some NASCAR discussion. As a matter of fact, we did. Yesterday, Steve and Orlowski, the guys from the Final Inspection, if you missed them, they joined us at 9 a.m. yesterday, that on demand, radio.com and 105.7fmthefan.com. Coming up today, we'll talk to Tim Allen, talk about some baseball stuff.
was in sort of a, I wouldn't call it a heated conversation, but it really got me boiling about how people are, if there is no baseball, people are going to blame the players rather than the owners. And I'm telling you, that is an absolute mistake. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. Trivia with Evan Heffelfinger, Ryan Horvath, myself, and Paul Imig at 8 o'clock. And then you want to talk about a foursome. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, and Tom Brady golfing in the match coming up this weekend. And calling the match will be Brian Anderson of Fox Sports Wisconsin. And we're going to talk to him at 9 o'clock today. Excited to talk to BA about a couple of different things. What he's been up to, you know, how they stay sharp, because he takes some time off during, like, the winter. Maybe he'll do a Badger game here and there, but that's normally his designated time off. This is his busy time right now. He should have been doing NBA playoffs. He should have been doing the Brewers, and he really hasn't been doing any games for the last 2 months. I don't know what the last game he called was. He's going to call the match this weekend, the golf match on TNT and TBS, but I don't know what the last thing he called was. It might have been a spring training game back in March. So for 2 months, he's had nothing to call. He's been doing some video stuff with the Brewers in Fox Sports Wisconsin, but really hasn't had anything to call or any ways to work on his craft. He's also used this time to really reach out to people that have reached out to him, guys that want to get into the business. So I think he's doing a great job there, and I'm excited to talk to Brian Anderson at 9 o'clock to preview the golf event this weekend, which I think is probably the most looked forward to event this weekend. There's no UFC. You've got the golf match. Now, people were sort of into the golf match last weekend with Rory and Dustin and those guys, but I thought there was something missing in terms of maybe how it was broadcasted. So hopefully this weekend's better. I'm a big racing fan now, so the Coca-Cola 600. But other than that, for Memorial Day weekend, when normally, as we were talking about, we'd have the NBA playoffs and a lot of baseball, it is Horvath going to feel a little different for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to talk some baseball, because I've actually changed my stance on the players and the owners just in the last 48 hours on what I think. On if baseball isn't able to return, I was like going to destroy both sides. You know I'm pro-player, and I always took the player's side, but I thought that they should come back. Everybody's taking pay cuts. But now with this, with all these rules, I really wouldn't blame them for not wanting to come back. Like, you have to, you can't shower after the game, no sunflower seeds, no spitting, social distancing while on the field. I just, that's not baseball, man. And I would understand if they didn't want to come back following all those guidelines. What happens if you accidentally just forget and you spit in the batter's box? Like, are you fined? Are you suspended? I don't know how that works. So I think that they're going to have to become a little more lenient on that. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think, though, if baseball does come back, I can't even believe we're talking about baseball not coming back. I think that we were all thought for certain that at some point during this, once other sports start to come back, baseball would be able to come back. I mean, there's baseball on right now in South Korea that we can watch, so you're seeing that it can be done.
Right.
Major League Baseball unable to do it for some reason, and we'll get into that coming up next and talk to Tim Allen at 7:30 of our baseball postgame show, which, again, I mean, no games for Brian Anderson, no postgame shows for Tim Allen for a while, but we'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. Trivia at 8 o'clock, Brian Anderson at 9. Plenty to get to. Whose side are you on? If baseball doesn't come back, are you blaming the owners? Are you blaming the players? Are you blaming me and Ryan Horvath? 414-799-1250. Are you blaming David Allen Cole? It's Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath here on The Fan.
Call me Merle Haggard anymore.
ESPN's Tim Kirkjian joined The Bill Michaels Show.
I think if we play 82 games, I would say there would be no official asterisk. There'll be an imaginary asterisk next to it probably for the rest of time. But I would say, okay, that's plenty. Best team wins. Let's go. Race to the finish.
Hear Bill Michaels weekdays from 10 to 2 on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan, a radio.com sports station.
Stinney's Curbside Pickup is available Wednesday through Sunday. On Friday, enjoy their famous fish fry. Call to place your order and go to stinneystavern.com for details on their limited curbside menu. Stinney's, on 2nd and National, we wish you could be here.
Here it comes, Memorial Day and better weather. What a better way to kick off the summer than by grilling on a brand new Traeger grill from my friends Ben and his great staff at Wauwatosa Ace Hardware. They're open, they're local, and they're helping you get your grill on and get the grill of your dreams in so many ways. The Traeger grill starts at $399. They can set it up, they can pre-burn it, it can be ready for your pickup, or they can deliver it to you. And this past weekend in the 70-degree weather, man, it was great to slow smoke some baby back ribs. Oh, they were so good. That special Traeger pellet flavor, oh, just awesome. Whether it's Ace Hardware in Wauwatosa, or the Germantown Ace Hardware, South Milwaukee Ace Hardware, or the Harry's Ace Hardware in Franklin, they're all the same. They all are Traeger pros there, and if you buy right now, they're even going to give you a bag of those fantastic smoking pellets to get you started. Free! Oh, and try some of those great Traeger sauces as well. Flavors of all types to really give you that perfect smoking flavor. So spice it up or smoke up your Memorial Day weekend with a brand new Traeger grill.
Chevy cares and is committed to helping people. Chevy is offering current owners complimentary OnStar services.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.